Are you ready to become toxic person proof?
Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah and I'm here with Mira Kirschenbaum. Guys, she has written 15 books on relationships and relationship dynamics and conflict in relationships and healthy relationships. And I am so thrilled to have her here. She's also the director of the Chestnut Hill Institute, which you can, if you want to go to her website, Chestnut Hill in LA. And she's has such an international reputation working with individuals, couples, people from all over the world, royalty, celebrities. And she is here with us today. Mira, how are you?
Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, she's so precious. Okay. Now, the book, I don't know if it's your most popular book, but the book I just cherish is Too Good to Leave, Too Bad to Stay, right? Which I'm sure many of my listeners are familiar with. So let's talk just kind of a 2-minute history on that. And then as we get into your newest work, tell us about that book a bit.
Well, I wrote that book about over 25 years ago, and I was working with a lot of couples, and they didn't know if they wanted to stay together or not. And therapists aren't supposed to talk about that. They're just supposed to keep people together.
Yes.
But my focus has always been to give people what they ask for. I trust my couples. And when they ask me, I do everything I can to give them what will help them. And so I started research and I spent a long time and I found out the 36 questions and answers based on what people told me made them happier if they left or if they stayed. And I put in everything I knew about relationships. At that point, I'd been a therapist for about 20 years, so I had learned a lot. And I people tell me that the book covers everything and it really helps you decide whether this is a place that you can have a good, satisfying, sustainable life and have love in your life or you have to go.
Good, sustaining love in your life, right? That is not making yourself small so the other person can feel big or always making up for another person's problems, right? I know you had pretty strong advice on toxic situations. Would you mind sharing that with our audience?
Oh, there were 23 questions about toxic situations. And it's very clear that if you answer even one of those 23 questions the way people answer who over long-term research said they were happier if they left, then you should leave.
Ooh, so important, yes. And I think that's very important. In my work too, people, it's not that life is perfect after a toxic relationship, but toxic relationships are so tumultuous, right? There's so much damage that people are better after a toxic relationship.
Oh, they feel freed up. They say that they feel like they've been let out of jail.
Yes.
It reminds them when they were kids and the school year was over. You had the whole summer to live. Finally, you could be alive. You could breathe. Uh-huh. So if you're in a toxic relationship, please ask yourself if you're thinking about divorce all the time or breaking up. That's a sign to you that this is not healthy, that this is not a place you're going to be able to fulfill yourself and be your best self.
And then you wrote, Is He Mr. Right? Right? So trying to
the books between them, but yes.
Yeah. she's written 15. So we're having to narrow it down for time here. But too good to leave, too bad to stay. And then finding that right person for you, right? So what is your biggest takeaway from that?
Well, the five dimensions of relationship chemistry are critical. Until then, we thought that chemistry was just sexual chemistry. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that there are five dimensions, and you need as much as you can get of all five. Mm. And if you don't have what you need, run. What that book did was have red lights and green lights. From the minute you lay your eyes on someone, is it a go or no go? Mm-hmm.
So we're talking at that point, you know, 20, 30, 40 years of research. Okay. And what I want you to hear, what she did not say is, if there's not all five dimensions, you work extra hard to change the other person to fit them into who you want them to be, right?
No. Mm-hmm. These are the things that you can change. You either have them at the level you need them or you don't. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't tell someone if they like chocolate ice cream not to like it, but to like a strawberry or vanilla. It's your preference.
Yeah.
So, for example, one of the dimensions is fun. Whatever fun is for you, don't let anyone tell you what you like. But if you enjoy that, then you have to ask yourself, is there that feeling that when you're together, the two of you, maybe it's just sitting around talking. Who knows? There's no right answer. It's what you need. If you have that with someone, that's golden. And if you don't, there are 7.5 billion
people. Yes.
The biggest surprise, the finding that I wouldn't have predicted, mm-hmm. was that the women who find happiness in love ultimately are the ones who dumped the duds the fastest.
Okay. Did everybody hear what she said? If not, there's a little like 10-second rewind. Okay.
Dump
the duds. We need to make t-shirts. Can we get matching t-shirts in our next interview? We're going to have dump the duds shirts. I'll send you one. I love it. There's the worst way to find Mr. Right is to try to change Mr. Wrong.
Oh, absolutely. It will never work. How can only a person can only change themselves.
Yeah.
No one can change anyone else.
And people have to want to change.
To be able to change.
Yeah,
and then change has to be enough change, and it has to be sustainable. And you have to really feel that it's done it for you. Uh-huh. Change is a really hard thing. You wouldn't have therapists if there weren't the need for change. But no one can do it for anyone else. And certainly, not even a therapist.
Well, even like adult children, right? Like I see parents all the time. It's like, oh, I just really, you know, it's a heartbreaking story. I have a friend who's, I know we're a little off topic here, but her brother just got checked into drug rehab for like, you know, and she's just heartbroken, but he has to want to change, right?
He has to want to that. He has to be aware that there's a problem. Then he has to say, okay, I need to do something about this. Yeah. Then he has to have a good solution. Why couples fight?
Uh-huh.
That's the other big discovery here is that I offer this wonderful 1-2-3 method that's a tool to solve all conflicts. I never thought I would be able to discover that in my life.
Okay, I'm so excited. This is what I want to talk to her about. So her newest book, Why Couples Fight, A Step-by-Step Guide to Ending the Frustration, Conflict, and Resentment in Your Relationship. And we talked about a bit about the intro, because if you're a listener here, this is not about how to change a toxic person. This is about two pretty healthy functioning people who have normal relationship problems. Is that right?
Yes. I just want to say, if you're with someone who you think is toxic, trying to get help, but if help doesn't work, then get away from them, because you are not going to be able to change this person. But normal people who are not interested in power for power's sake, they're not what I call power people who are unfair. That's the marker of a true power person. They're unfair. You want to make sure that the person you're with is a basically fair person who wants to do what's best for both of you. The best definition of love I know is when the health, happiness, and well-being of the other is as important to you as your own. And that's Harry Stack Sullivan's definition. He's right.
I love it. And I just want to give some weight to her answer. Okay. I know I introduced her at the beginning and her statement of you will be happier if you leave, you know, get out. Both partners have to put into each, you know, put the work in and consider each other's health, emotional health. It's a 45 year in this business, 15 books, working with royalty, working with celebrities, working with all these amazing work. I want you to hear her answer, because I know sometimes you may hear, you know, a friend or a family member who doesn't really understand say something along the lines of, well, you made your bed, now you have to lie in it. Or, you know, I'm sure it'll get better with time. Or you're too sensitive, or not making, you know, all relationships are hard. I really want to give you the full weight you deserve, Mira, in that answer. And I'm thankful for it.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do not keep waiting. Relationships don't heal by themselves. Mm-hmm. You have to use the right tools. And finally, I never thought I would be able to find the tool, but the tool is here.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Tell us about it. Yes.
Well, first you have to know what power moves are.
Okay.
Now, no one wants power for its own sake unless they're a very disturbed person. Most of us just don't want to be disempowered. You know, we're willing and happy to stand on line at the bank, for example. But if someone cuts ahead of us, we get pissed.
Hey, Mira, my daughter's first grade teacher called. She's like perfect student. And like, she really is, like never any behavior issues or anything like that. And I got a call one time from the school on her. And my husband goes, my very healthy husband, he said, I bet somebody cut line in front of her and she pushed him. And that's exactly what happened.
Re-empowered herself.
Yes.
The problem is that both people do that whenever there's a conflict in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's a power move. Anything that you feel makes you feel disempowered, that you're not going to get your needs met. Remember, the point of a relationship is that it's a place where you get your most important needs met. If you're not getting them met, then you take them that damn seriously and you bring it up using the 1-2-3 method in a savvy, powerful, in the good sense, powerful, standing up for yourself, advocating for what you need and doing it right.
Okay. Tell us what it is. If I'm in a fight, yeah.
Power moves. You've not done anything that the other person tells you, regardless of what your intentions, the other person says, I feel disempowered when you do that, or just says, please do it again. Do it again. Trust them. They know. Anything can be a power move. In the book, I list hundreds of power moves.
Can you give us an example of what that might mean?
Sighing, yelling,
anything. I can't believe you're going to do that. Something like that.
That's unreasonable. What are you thinking?
Okay.
That is a question with respect, really wanting to know. But a put down, a challenge, you know, because you feel put down, you may feel made small, you feel humiliated. Don't ever let anyone do that. When someone treats you in a way that makes you feel disempowered, then you say, I find that uncomfortable, or please do it again, or just stop.
Yeah.
Stop means stop.
Mm-hmm. And so when someone's powering over, I use the term powering over to power moves. When someone's performing a power move on you, stop, please don't do it again. Or no. Right?
Yeah. But what you want to do is move things forward. You want to be able to deal with the conflict in a healthy way. So the first thing to do is to ask questions.
Okay.
You know, really good questions. How? Why is that important to you? How do you see that working? Tell me more about it. Just open it up. My images, I have two really good images for it. You know, when you're unpacking a suitcase, you take things out, you shake them out. That's what you do. Every item in, if you have a real conflict that's important to you, then you take it seriously. Remember, a relationship is a place where you get your important needs met. So you have to take the time. And then the other image I have is a dark room.
Okay.
You've not been in before. You don't know where the furniture is. What do you do before you go into that room?
Turn the light on.
You don't want to trip. And that's the same thing. You are asking questions to find out what's really important about this to the other person. And when you feel, when they feel understood to their toes, they see you seeing them, you tell them what you understand, and they know that you fully understand, then and only then do you move on to solutions, to options. You play the game of what if. What if we tried this? You come up with 100 options. The more options you have, the more likely you're going to hit on something that works for both of you. Remember, it's not negotiation, because with a negotiator, you don't have to see each other again.
That's true, yes.
You're going to have to make love. So both people have to feel that they're getting their important needs met. And so once you've come up with a couple of options, you each say what your top three are. And then
So solution. So okay, I want to go back. So we're in a fight, you know, I'm in a fight, something's happened. And I say, you know, I need to say, what did you mean by that? What's most important to you? How can I understand this better? Something like that.
Perfect.
Okay. Perfect. I'm a professional. So, you know, no, just kidding. And then, okay, let's work together to solve this.
Yeah, what if we tried this? What if we tried that? Try as many things as you can come up with. Then you take it for a test ride.
Okay.
What, given our real life, in our context, how would this work? What would be the obstacles? Who could help us with this? Where would we look for openings to make it better? And then you do a trial run. And then you say, okay, let's see if we try it for a week. What does that feel like? And don't finalize anything until you've given it a try. So let's say one of you has a real need to start eating vegan.
Okay.
So what you do is you say, if that comes up as the option you both agree on, then you say, well, we could, when we have meals, we could once or twice a week, try vegan and see how that feels. And the rest of the time, you can eat what you want. And I'll work around it. You find workarounds.
So I love that example because that honestly happened in my mind and my husband's life. And he went on this very strict diet last year, about a year ago. And before, a lot of our interaction and stuff had been very built around food, you know, and eating together and researching food. And he likes eating in nice restaurants and I like it too, you know, that kind of thing. And I was shocked at how my immature, I'll call myself immature, emotional reaction to him changing his diet, because then it felt like I was having to change my diet, you know, or there was some, I love that you use that example. And I was, that's a perfect example of boundaries. Like, you know, he should get to choose what's in his body, right? Like that is his choice. And how in healthy relationships, sometimes it could come up because I felt guilty about eating food in front of him or, you know, certain things. There was an emotional reaction that I had to work on, you know, that was completely my fault. But that's a perfect example of in how healthy relationships, things can kind of snowball. And there's so much more to the story than I don't want to eat no carbs ever again. Right?
There's always a way the two of you can get what you need.
Yes.
But you have to work it out together.
Uh-huh.
Here's the rule of thumb. If a decision impacts on the other person, they must be included in the decision making.
Okay.
You don't have a choice. And certainly if you want love, sure, that's a basic requirement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we'll use the context of my husband and I, because that's a real life, you know, that's a good example for people. So I don't know that I handled it that well, but we'll go back in time and pretend, and I'm using your 1-2-3 method, right? So he says, I'm going to change my diet. And I'm emotionally flooded and upset. And then what should my next step have been?
Ask questions. Okay. How do you see that working? Why is that important to you?
Uh-huh.
What part do you see me playing in that? What impact do you see that having on the household?
Uh-huh.
Anything you can think of. You know the things you care about. That's what you ask about. Whatever needs you have, you ask about them.
Perfect. And then he answers. And then I move into...
Well, once... You feel, he feels that you've completely understood where he's coming from, what he needs, what he's saying. There are no misunderstandings. Then you have your say.
Uh-huh.
And you listen to him, your concerns. You're not going to object because that's putting him down. That could
sure
be a power move. Instead, you're just going to open it up and want to know more. And
so
he does the same thing back to you. He tells you what he's understood so that you feel completely down to your toes that you know that he sees you and hears you. You've got to, love is feeling seen and heard. Otherwise, what is it? You could be talking to a stranger, but with someone who loves you, you feel they know you, they understand you in the deepest possible way.
And mirroring back, you know, what I heard you say is that you went to the doctor and you were concerned about your sugar levels. And so you really want to make some changes to have a long, sustainable life, right? Like repeating their words back to them.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
And then you say, well, how could we do this? What if we tried this? We tried it just a little bit. Or what if we kept things separate?
Mm-hmm.
Or how could we do it? You don't make any assumptions. Wherever possible, you create the opportunity for creativity. And the best solution will just appear. It's like magic. It happens so often when you're generating a lot of options.
It's exactly when I talk about designing a life you're excited about living. I work my clients through the process of, after a toxic relationship, a new life design, like a life they're happy about. That's exactly what they do, you know, generate all these options and then try them on.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And then you go for a trial run.
Then you go, yes, yes. Well, absolutely. And I also want to point out too, because you use the word creative thinking. Okay. So when you're in that place of creativity, where you're able to create these designs, no one's in their most creative space mad or hurt or misunderstood, right? And so that's why the first steps are so important, correct?
Exactly. The eliminating power moves by itself for a lot of people changes their whole lives.
Oh,
I want to read something I wrote at the very beginning of the book so that your audience can know where I'm coming from. I've just finished writing the last chapter, and now finally I feel at peace. At last, I've kept a promise I made to myself when I was 10 years old, and that I made again and again over the years. A promise I made with tears to find an answer to the question, is lasting love possible? And if so, how in the world can we make it happen? I've given my life to this question, and you hold the answer in your hands. That's my new book. That's why I wrote it. Why Couples Fight.
Yes, When Couples Fight, the step-by-step guide to ending the frustration, conflict, and resentment in your relationships. Mira, thank you so much. Where can people find more about you?
On my website, you can Google my name, or you can go to the Chestnut Hill Institute, and you'll find out all about me, and you'll get descriptions of all my books. Plus, 3 times a week, I write a new blog. So you're getting
3 times a week, you're writing a new blog. Oh, well, you're officially my superhero.
Thursdays and Saturdays, I post a new blog.
So beautiful. And such a beautiful soul, such a beautiful journey on this quest. And thank you so much for helping us on our journey to become toxic person proof.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure. It's a wonderful interview. Thank you.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I know that there was something that you can take away to help you get past the past, get real about the present, or get serious about your future. And if I did my job, then hopefully it will help you with all three. If you are not in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, then consider this your personal invitation from me. I'm there live, there's tons of support, and most importantly, tons more information to help you on your journey to become toxic person proof.